Hello, friend. I'm so glad you're here. My name is Zach Holt, and this is Come to the Table. Some of our most intimate conversations happen at the kitchen table. Our walls crumble and space is created to know one another more deeply when we simply pull up a chair, let down our guard, and be who we are, where we are. In our time together, we will step into the shoes of others through recovery stories of redemption, offer connections and resources for those in need, and come together as a community starving for revival in our region. So if you're hungry, you came to the right place. Well, friend, today we have an exciting guest with us, Jill Lagerberg, all the way from Knoxville. And she's on our show today to let us know about an amazing ministry that she leads, and also to tell you all about a really exciting opportunity, a performance that's coming to Bristol Saturday, February 15th. And so, Jill, we're glad to have you with us today.
Thank you, Zach. It's great to be here.
Oh, it's awesome we were able to come together. So I know folks are anxious to hear a little bit about you. So maybe just a short introduction to who is Jill and how did you end up in the role that you have with Knoxville Christian Arts Ministries?
Yeah, that was not something I envisioned, but definitely something God did over the years. I grew up in Johnson City and always loved music and wanted to be a professional musician. So went to school for music in Winston-Salem, went to Wake Forest, and then did some graduate work at the University of Michigan and returned to Knoxville to teach at Johnson Bible College, which is now Johnson University, and have lived here ever since. After our daughter was born, I resigned my position teaching at Johnson, but continued to stay involved with church and community music. And that eventually led me to Cedar Springs Presbyterian Church as the sanctuary choir director. And in 2005, the choir from Cedar Springs went on a short-term mission trip, singing at various universities and colleges in Lima, Peru,
oh, wow,
which was a huge blessing for us and also for the missionary and his work down there. And so when we got back from that trip, we started praying that using music to share the gospel outside the walls of the church would not be just a one-time thing that we did in Peru, but that God would continue to give us opportunities to do that locally. And things started to happen. There was a man in the choir who worked in the prisons here in Tennessee, and he got us connected with a couple of the prisons. We did some work at the local homeless shelter. We even, Target store called us one time and said, would you all come and sing Christmas carols for us?
How cool.
And I know, we said, well, you know, this is a church. It would be sacred carols. They said, we don't care. So it was things like that. And the work just sort of grew. And then in 2009, Cedar Springs Presbyterian Church, which is a very missional church, was very excited about what the choir was doing. And they asked me if I would take on a new role to develop what they were thinking of as just a music program, a choir program, to share the gospel outside the church. But I had been thinking by that time about using not just music, but also drama and dance, and not just Cedar Springs folks, but all across the Knoxville area, because I felt certain there were people who are believers who would really love to use their gifts in ministry and might not have an opportunity at their own churches to do that, particularly not actors and dancers. So I asked the church if they would be interested in a broader program, and they said, go write your job description. So that's how Knoxville Christian Arts Ministries was born. And we have consistently over the years had between 90 and 120 members from all across the Knoxville area, between 30 and 40 churches usually represented in any given year. And most of our work is into prisons across the state of Tennessee. What we do looks a whole lot like musical theater. We tell a story every year, and it includes music, which is provided by our 55-voice choir and an orchestra and handbells. And we have dancers that are integrated into that process as well. So this year, the story is about the conversion of the Apostle Paul And that's the story we'll be presenting in Bristol next week.
Oh my gosh. That's so cool. That's so cool. So, gosh, my wife and I, we recently went to Africa. We spent a couple weeks in Kenya. And it's amazing how a mission trip can really kind of catalyze some larger vision, you know, back
yes.
home and what we came back with from Africa, other than just, you know, the experience and the memories, was just this deeper compulsion to live out our mission in a new way. And so that's really cool to hear how you didn't just go to Peru and do this thing and come home and go back to your life, but how distinctively it shaped you and kind of prepared you for everything else that God was calling you to do.
That's true. I mean, I've been a musician all my life. I really believe in the power that the performing arts have to break through barriers that people put up that would prevent them from considering Jesus as Savior. And we see that over and over. We saw it in Peru, and we've seen it since then in the work that Knox Cam has done. We're just excited that we get to use these performing arts gifts that God has given us. I think He created us to be creative,
yes.
and He's given us these wonderful gifts to use both in worship and outside of worship to glorify Him and share His message of love and salvation. It's exciting to get to use the performing arts to share the gospel of Christ outside the walls of the church.
What do you think it is about kind of, and I completely agree with you, but what do you think it is about the performing of arts and your approach that kind of gets to people in a way that lets not to minimize the impact of a sermon or a worship service, but what is it that's distinctive about the performance art in the manner that you guys live it out that you feel is effective in a special way? What is it about it?
I think really the root of it is that God created us to respond to art and to beauty. He is a creator. He's made these beautiful things that we see all around us throughout the universe. He created us to be creative and to respond to art and to the performing arts. And all you have to do is look around you, any place in culture, to see that performing arts are powerful.
Absolutely.
You know, anytime somebody's selling you something, we turn on the social media, we turn on the radio, we turn on the television. Performing arts is everywhere, not just in places that we think of it, like maybe movies, but it's everywhere around us, particularly in the advertising world, and not always being used in a way that we as people of faith would think would be glorifying God.
Yeah.
That He made us to respond to the arts in a very heartfelt way. The arts hit the heart, and they break through barriers. They break through anger, and they break through bitterness and fear and guilt and all of those things that keep us from being vulnerable to even considering Christ as Savior.
I love that. I wrote that down in my journal, the art hits the heart. I like that. So how has it been going into these prisons? I do a lot of volunteer chaplaincy work at the regional jail, and I love those spaces. How has that experience been for you guys? I know sometimes we'll go into a chapel service or something, and the guys come in and they're, you know, puffed up and face tattoos and just kind of, you know, tough and hardened. And then it's just like the gospel begins to wash over them, and you see them weeping and you see them responding. What's been your experience like visiting some of the penitentiaries?
Exactly what you are describing. You know, the guys come in, and the women too. We visit two women's prisons as well. And they may come in as believers already. They may come in as people who are wondering about Christianity and the whole Jesus thing, or they may come in as people who just are glad to get out and do
Absolutely.
Anything. You know, it runs the gamut. And so when we start, you know, there might be a little bit of chatter around the edges and in the back, but as it goes along, you feel people really becoming engaged. I can't see them. I'm directing a choir and my back is to the audience, but all the people who can see them uniformly say they get really interested. They're leaning forward. They make comments, especially the women. It's so fun to go to the women's prisons. Last year we were at the women's facility down near Memphis in Henning, and long story short, we had a very difficult time getting in, and we did not have much time to present the concert. So things were running at a pretty high level of adrenaline when we first got started. But about 150 ladies came in. They knew that we were under this time constraint, and we just went. And there was all this excitement, and they were calling out to the actors, affirming things they were saying, and "Preach it, brother." And you know, responding and reacting and laughing. They were crying. By the time we got to the end of the concert, we were crying too. Oh. And they were just so engaged with it. And they don't mind saying so. They call out and they talk to you, and they're excited about what we're doing. After that particular concert, I got into conversation with a man who teaches at that prison as a volunteer and had attended that day. And he said, "Thank you, thank you, thank you so much for coming. Most people do not want to come into prisons because it's really difficult to get mm-hmm. in," which it had been for us that day for sure. They want to be paid. And because of the donations of our supporters, we don't charge anything ever. It's all we're able to just give, and we're so excited about that. But he said, "Please, please, please don't stop." Mm. And at that very same prison the year before, we had the same kind of response. And the chaplain who had been there that day emailed us and said, there were many ladies that day who had raised their hands to accept Christ. And he emailed and said he had baptized quite a few of those women within the next 2 or 3 weeks.
Wow.
So there's an impact there that goes far beyond what we do. It's God working, really. Mm-hmm. It's just, we're as excited as anyone to see how God uses what we do. That's our whole goal.
Well, I love your heart in that. That's a really beautiful story too. And there, a lot of times it seems like the greater the opposition, you know, and kind of those roadblocks that we think are dead ends, but the roadblocks actually become stepping stones to something beautiful that God is doing.
Yes,
you know,
that's right.
And how sometimes that resistance. Well, I mean, even in, gosh, the story of the Apostle Paul, how there was, you know, there was resistance coming against the church in Acts chapter 8, and Saul was kind of the primary guy pushing back against a lot of that, and how that roadblock became a stepping stone, and how Saul becoming Paul was just instrumental in what God was doing. But it all came out of a roadblock, you know, something that seemed to be a sticking point.
There have been many challenges working with this many people and taking 70 or 80 people at a time into a prison over the years. And we call those challenges opportunities to trust God.
That's good.
I love that. He has provided for us over and over and over and over. There has never been a time that we have not been able to give a concert. He has provided for us consistently over the years.
So this, so you said every year you do a different piece.
That's right.
And I believe I watched the one that he was on YouTube about Hosea, and it was really cool. So where do you come up with this stuff? Like how, certainly the biblical story, but like what's your process like of bringing these stories to life in a really unique and vivid way?
I start thinking about the next year's project about Christmas time. So right now I'm working on the story we're going to do next year. And, you know, I consider how we're going to use all of the different parts of our group. You know, we need to have a place for the dancers, a place, of course, a place for the actors, a place for the choir and the orchestra. The choir often plays like roles in the story. This year, they are playing in one spot the role of believers in Jerusalem, And in another spot, they're playing the role of the voice of Jesus speaking to Saul.
Oh, cool.
So they do at times provide commentary, but they are very much integrated into the story. So all of these components have to fit together to create this integrated whole. But as far as, you know, which story are we going to do which year, it's really just a lot of thought and prayer and what feels inspiring for that particular year. Yeah. A lot of our stories are based on Bible stories like this one about Saul or parables of Jesus. Some of them are modern day stories. We've done some of that too. In fact, we just this past week have premiered a movie that is a modern day story. It's called Broken Road, and it's about tragedy that occurs when our own sin causes awful things to happen that cannot be undone. And where is God in all of that? And how do you go on in faith? So our goal for this film, which is our third film, is to get it into the prisons. And we are in the process now of finding out which streaming services are going to the prisons. And in the past,
awesome.
We've sent films in via DVD, but that now it appears that streaming services are becoming more the thing. So that's one of our projects. That's kind of in addition to the live work that we do. So the inspiration comes from a lot of different places,
absolutely.
But it's a lot of thought and prayer.
So how could, is there a way that someone could watch Broken Road now? Is there a way people can access that?
There will be.
Okay.
It's not streaming yet, but it will be.
Okay.
And yes, absolutely. It will be out there.
I would love to watch it. That sounds something we see a lot, you know, that, sin has consequences. And even if we, you know, are reconciled and restored vertically, sometimes there is still an overflow of that brokenness into our world, into our lives, into our families that is... it's just hard to get it all back right. And so we encounter folks that are just sitting in sackcloth and ashes and their worlds have imploded, and walking with them in that is incredibly challenging, but is so beautiful. You know, this past week I had a dear friend. He was probably my first spiritual mentor years ago, and he'd been in ministry, 50 years, and so he was hospice had come in, and so the family asked if I would come and sit with him, and so his wife, they were at a nursing home here in Abingdon, and so her little recliner was pulled right up next to his bed, and he was sleeping hard, and so I wasn't able to talk to him, but able to, you know, talk to her, and she had all of his pictures in her lap, and it was one of those moments where it's so heavy and so hard, and yet also so profound and so beautiful to be able to walk with someone in a space like that. She's been married to him for 70 years, you know, and here she is at his bedside holding his hand, looking at pictures, and to be able to be there and intercede and to pray with them in that moment. And it's amazing how so many hard moments are also some of the most beautiful moments. There's such a sense of God's imminence when hearts are broken and lives are shattered. The flip side of that suffering is glory. And what I'm hearing from you in your heart is that, you know, in spaces like prisons, there's something distinctive about the opportunity that we have to minister in those moments. It's like the doors of, you know, to people's hearts, they become receptive to life change. I've got our house manager for 117, his name is Uriah, and he always says, sometimes you don't realize Jesus is all you need until Jesus is all you have. And
that's great.
And being able to step into some of that is, it's really cool, really cool. So I want to hear a little bit about so you've got, you mentioned handbells, and you've got the orchestra, you've got the choir, you've got dancers. So when you're putting these things together, I guess you have to take into consideration like all of the different parts of each of those. How do you, I can't even imagine like how you begin to like weave all those pieces together. Is that a pretty big challenge to coordinate that many different performers and musicians?
We are blessed with directors for each of our groups.
Okay.
So when we first start rehearsing in the fall, excuse me, we have an orchestra that's rehearsing separately with a director. We have handbells rehearsing with their director. The dancers are with our choreographer. Our actors are with our drama director. And the choir is with me. So all of these groups are rehearsing separately to learn their piece of the whole. And then in the middle of October, we begin to rehearse together and put it all together, just like a play. Mm-hmm. And we do most of our traveling after Christmas, between January and the end of April. So we run on this school year season. But all these people are outstandingly gifted, talented, committed believers, and so good at what they do. And it's all volunteer. We've got 95 volunteers this year that are making this thing happen. I certainly don't do it by myself. we could not do it without all working together as a team. Yeah. We have a man who coordinates with the prisons about the logistics of the dates and the times and the getting in and out, all of those things. We have equipment manager, because we travel with a truckload of sound equipment and instruments and music stands and chairs, all those props, costumes, all those things. We have each group has its own like shepherding leader for prayer requests and things like that. We have a music librarian. There are all kinds of people in our group who are making things happen as a team. It's amazing. I am blessed to get to work with these amazing people.
Yeah. So I think a lot of what I'm hearing right now is it's reminding me of when the Apostle Paul talks about, the body of Christ, and he talks about, that every body part has a specific function. And it really sounds like this is kind of that lived out, that every person has a part to play and a role to fill, whether that's, managing the equipment or handling logistics or singing soprano or playing the timpani. Everybody kind of has a distinctive role. And when they all come together, it really makes this beautiful piece.
It's true. I often look at the group and think just what you said. There's so many members, each playing his or her own part, and coming from many different churches, many denominations, many different sizes of churches, many areas of the, from the Knoxville and surrounding area, different ages. Our youngest participant is 18. Our oldest one is 85 or 6.
Oh, boy.
We have some families that participate together, parents and kids or husbands and wives. It's a very diverse group in all of those areas. And yet, here we are, this little microcosm of the body of Christ, literally, and having the privilege of sharing the gospel in a really unique way.
Absolutely. Well, I can't wait for Saturday, February 15th. I'm really, really, really excited about that. So what would you say is the greatest challenge in doing what you do? Sounds like there's a lot of moving parts. Is there one part of it that is the most challenging? And then the second one, you shared a beautiful story, but what would you say is the most rewarding part of all this?
Oh my goodness. It's hard to say what's the most challenging. Things happen all the time, when you're working with this many people. And I guess one of the lessons God keeps trying to teach me over the last 16 years is just roll with it. He says, I'm there, just roll with it. And he is, he's always there. Getting into the prisons can be challenging because the policies change and,
sure.
And there are lots of rules to comply with, but we are grateful that the prisons know us and they know that we're trying really hard to comply and that we have a system, that we respect them. And that has been actually a very rewarding thing as well as a challenging thing. But the most rewarding, oh my goodness, the most rewarding is to see how God works and, you know, to see what's happening in the prisons, which is very difficult to describe if you're not there, but just to see how people's hearts are open and they raise their hands to accept Jesus, and you know, we're encouraging them to get involved then with their own other prison ministries that are coming in weekly or their chaplain programs so that they can be discipled. Yeah. That is extremely rewarding. But and for me personally, it's just a privilege to work with these folks that are in the group. They just love Jesus so much, and to a man and to a woman, really recognize that what we are about is sharing the gospel, and that we are using the performing arts as a tool God gave us to share the gospel in this really unique way. That is super rewarding to just get to work with them, because they're sold out to the idea of spreading the gospel through this ministry.
I'm so excited. It's so creative, and just I think it'll really bring that story to life in a way that I think is really going to touch some folks and touch some hearts. So
we are excited to be with you all next week.
I know
a lot of effort has gone into this, and we're really looking forward to it.
It's gonna be awesome, and hopefully we'll be the first of more years of getting to invite you all up and getting to see what you guys have planned for next year. Excited for that. So what would you say is your biggest hope moving forward, looking ahead for Knoxville Christian Arts Ministries? Is there anything that you're particularly excited about moving forward?
We are excited to see where our film branch, our film arm, is going to go. Every year, our big prayer and hope in terms of membership is that we will continue to find new members, because people do come and go for various reasons. They move out of town, or some of them have health issues. There are different things that happen. They have babies, various life events. We pray every year for younger members as well as older members. A lot of our folks are at the post-child age.
Okay.
They're nearing or at retirement age. So our hope, really, I guess, over the years is just to see Knox Cam go where God is leading. We pray that all the time. And we're eager and excited to see what he has for us for the future.
Yeah, I love that. And I love how your ministry is positioned in a way that facilitates collaboration across denominations. And I think that's just such a beautiful picture of what the kingdom should look like. I think sometimes, unfortunately, we see in the nonprofit world and even in the ministry world, there is kind of sometimes some competition and some silos. And so I love hearing about other ministries. I would say the same of ours at the table is it's uniquely positioned in a way that facilitates a greater collaboration, almost acting like a hub, you know, for all these different denominations and to come together and keep the main thing the main thing. And
that's
so,
something I really cherish about Knox Cam, and pray often that God will protect us from attacks of the enemy on that front.
Yeah. Keep focused on Jesus, and I know you guys are going to do great. Well, I want to thank you so much, Jill, for taking the time to join with us here and share with our folks about, gosh, your amazing ministry. And I definitely will be bugging Dave to figure out how I can watch Broken Road. I'm really excited. you sold me on it. And we'll look forward to having you all out at Highlands Fellowship at Exit 7 in Bristol, Virginia, this coming Saturday, February 15th. Show starts at 6, and we can't wait. So I want to thank you so much, Jill, for being here with us today.
And you are very welcome. It's been my delight.
Oh, I love it. Friend, I want to thank you for joining us on this episode of Come to the Table. We really hope that it's been an encouragement in your recovery or created in you a curiosity of what it could look like to live into a more selfless season of life where you are contributing and serving others. So if there's any way our ministry can come beside you, pour into you, provide coaching, support, in a time of need, you can reach out to me at thetablebristol117@gmail.com. Hope is closer than you know. Grace and peace to you, my friend.